I remember when Paul and I were talking about the Advent season, and a lot of times we'll do a sermon series on the Advent, you know, joy, hope, love, whatever. And I said, and you know, we talked about continuing through John. And I said, well, what if it just kind of matches up? And you know what? It does today. I don't know if it will next week or the week after, but love. It's all about love, you know. And so this morning I'm going to talk about John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Just two little verses there. You know, for many years of my Christian life, I worked really hard at being holy, at doing what God wanted me to do, at not doing anything that would have the appearance of evil or be worldly, just focused on being good, so to speak, you know, being clean and holy and pure. One of my favorite verses was that one, I think it's in Timothy somewhere, that says, let us be cleansed and holy vessels fit for the master's service. But what I've realized over the past several years is that there's a higher calling than just to be holy. Yes, God calls us to be holy and he calls us to be pure, but that higher calling is love. It's like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, you know, if I have the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, if I give my body to be burned, but I don't have love, he says, I'm like just a loud clanging gong. You know, remember the gong show, how annoying that sound is? You know, we can be the best people in the world. We can be all cleaned up and holy. We can never lie. We can have integrity. We can be perfect. But if we don't have love, then we are nothing, the Bible says. And so God, yes, calls us to be holy, but there's no way that we can be holy without being people of love. And there's no way that we can be people of love without being holy, which means to be set apart for God's purposes. So this morning, we're going to look at verses 34 and 35. And it says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So one of the first things we notice there is that Jesus is giving them a new commandment, not a suggestion. He says, I'm giving you a command. And we see that command again in John chapter 15. We'll see it in a few weeks. In verse 12, this is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I didn't put it on the screen this morning, but I was thinking about 1 John 3:16. We know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But do you know that 1 John 3:16 says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for each other. John continues that theme of love, loving each other in 1 John again, in chapter 2, verses 3 through 11, it says, and we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have had from the beginning. This old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before, yet it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. If anyone claims I am living in the light, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is living in the darkness still. Anyone who loves another brother or sister is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates another brother or sister is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. So these are just four of several verses that command us to love one another. And we know we're supposed to love everybody, right? But these verses are specifically speaking about the body of Christ, about your body, your brothers and sisters in Christ. That was Jesus' command, is that we love each other, that we love our brothers and sisters, those in the body of Christ. I think it would be fair to say that the whole Christian life hinges on two things: believing in Jesus as the Son of God and loving his body. And that's not to say that that's the only thing that Christians do, but it is the mark of the Christian. If you look in 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, it says, "And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him and he with them, and we know he lives in us because the Spirit he gave us lives in us." Read that again. "And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another." That's Jesus' commandments. Believe in his name and love each other. So I'd say this is pretty important, of utmost importance. How we treat other believers according to the scripture is a barometer, so to speak, of our Christianity. So if Jesus' command is that we love each other the way that he loves us, then the question becomes, how does he love us? How did he love the disciples that he spoke these words to in John 13? So that's what I want to talk about this morning, is three ways that Jesus loved his disciples, and then attempt to apply them to how we should love one another today. Okay, so three ways that Jesus loved his disciples. I'm going to give you the three answers, the three ways, and then we're going to go back and look at them one at a time. So number one, and I know as I thought about this, I thought, well, Sandra, that's three in number one, but you'll get it, okay? Number one has three, but that's not the three. That's just one, okay? One, he lived among them. He walked with them. He was present. That's all one. That's all the same thing, okay? I was just saying it three different ways. He lived among them. He walked with them. He was present with them. I think that's one of the ways that Jesus loved his disciples. A second way is that he spoke words of life to them. John chapter 6, verse 63 says that the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Jesus spoke words of spirit and life to his disciples. And then number three is he did for them what they could not do for themselves, but he required them to do what they could do. So I think that's another way that Jesus loved. So he didn't spoon feed or enable people to be less than God required or created them to be. So let's look at these three things one at a time. First of all, he lived among them, he walked with them, he was present. And you may be listening to this and thinking, okay, how is this loving them? You know, just being with them, living with them. Well, think about it. Who do you hang out with? Who gets your time and attention? It's those that you love, right? It's those that you are committed to love that get your attention and your time. That's who you spend your time with. When Jesus tells us to love our brothers and our sisters in Christ the way that he loved his disciples, he's telling us to be with each other. You can't love from a distance. You can send money. You can show up occasionally. But that's not necessarily loving each other. Because love abides with. Love listens to. Love fellowships with. Love eats with. It works with. It mourns with. It rejoices with. It shares its life with. It listens to. So we cannot be obeying Jesus' command to love each other in the body of Christ the way that he loved his disciples if we are not living in relationship with one another. Now, I'm going to say something, and I don't mean it to offend. So I'm just going to say it. It's just something to think about, okay? To pray about and allow the Holy Spirit to use it in your life if he wants to. And if not, like my grandmother used to say, let it roll off your back like water off a duck's back, okay? And ignore me. But as I was thinking about this, I thought, if there is no one here at Three Point or in your small group of fellow believers that knows you, that really knows you. I don't mean just knows you to say hi, but I mean knows you, knows what you care about, what you love, what you feel, what you think. That you spend time with on a regular basis. That listens to you and you listen to them. Are we obeying Jesus' command to love one another the way that he loved his disciples? None of us are perfect in this. In fact, I think I'm pretty horrible at it when I'm honest, when I think about it. I mean, it's easy for me to serve. I love to serve. I love to wait on you hand and foot. You can ask Steve, that's just who I am. It's easy for me because I like to do that. But spending time with people, knowing and being known, that's not my strong suit. But I need to be better if I'm going to love the way that Jesus loved. Do you see the difference? So I'll leave that very convicting thought for now and go on to the second way that Jesus loved his disciples, and that's that he spoke words of life to them. His words were spirit, and they were life. If we want to obey Jesus and love his people, then we need to do it with our words as well as our presence. Again, not my strong suit. You can ask Paul. I'm very good at speaking words of truth. Words of encouragement, I have to work on that a little bit. But what kind of words did Jesus speak? He spoke words of encouragement. Do not be afraid. For now on you will be catching men. He spoke words of compassion. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He spoke words of truth. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. He spoke hard words. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. He spoke kind words. Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're anxious about many things. What kind of words are we speaking to members of Three Point or other believers that we know and we interact with? You know, words are so important. And that's one of the ways that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ is by speaking words of truth. And words that are gracious, that are seasoned with salt, the Bible says, for the edification of the moment. When we speak the word to people. Not flattering, empty words, but words that are weighty. Words that matter. A third way that Jesus loved his disciples is he did for them what they could not do for themselves. But he required them to do what they could do. You know, when I first began working on this message this week, I decided to look through the Gospels to see exactly how Jesus did love his disciples. And so I started at the beginning of Luke, actually chapter 4, and read through it, kind of skimmed through it, just looking for ways that Jesus loved his disciples. And what I saw over and over again was Jesus speaking in parables, saying things that didn't make any earthly sense. And after a while, I realized that this was one of the ways that Jesus was loving his disciples, by not spoon-feeding them, by requiring them to seek to understand, to search for themselves, to ask, to seek, to knock. And we don't think of that as a way that we show love to people, but I think sometimes we want to ask Jesus, why didn't you just make it easy? Why did you have to make it so hard? But now I'm seeing the wisdom in the way that he was, and that it's actually love that makes him require something of his followers, because otherwise we would be crippled and we would never live up to what God created us to be. Think of a baby. If you took a baby and you carried that baby all of its life, would it ever learn to walk? No. But instead, you put it on the floor and you watch it struggle to learn to, and its muscles strengthen, to learn to crawl and then to start to push itself up. You watch it fall over and over and over again. And that's love. You're doing that out of love for that child, because you know that that child needs to be able to walk on its own. When do we grow and become better? Not when people are enabling us, even though sometimes we would like for them to, and that would seem like the nice thing to do, right? But it's when we work to grow, when we fight to make it, when we struggle to be stronger, when we fall and we get up, and we fall and we get up, and we fall and we get up. That's when we grow. And Jesus loved his disciples by dying on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins, because there was no way that we could do that for ourselves. But he loved them also by requiring them to do what they could do, even when he could have made it easier and done it for them, because he loved them enough to hurt them, to watch them fall, so that they would grow to maturity. And so what about you? Are you loving Jesus' body, the church, by doing for those what they cannot do for themselves? And are you loving your brothers and sisters by requiring that they do what they can, even though sometimes it feels unloving? I was thinking about this, and I was thinking how our culture has confused niceness and kindness and love and license. So I looked up the definition of nice. Definition of nice is, according to the dictionary, is pleasant, agreeable, satisfactory. You know, people that are nice to be around. They're easy to get along with because they never say anything that upsets you, convicts you, makes you doubt yourself, etc. But the problem is, you don't really know what they think. You don't really know them because they're just nice. Jesus was not nice. He was not intentionally rude or a bully or annoying, but he was definitely not nice. If he had been nice, he would not have been killed. Let's look at the definition of kind. According to the dictionary, kind is of a sympathetic, helpful, forbearing nature, gentle. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Niceness is not. You know, when I correct my grandson, he tells me sometimes I'm not being nice. I remember one time I made him get in the bathtub, and he is standing in the bathtub, and I'm telling him, Luke, sit down. And he is screaming, crying at me, you're not being nice. nice. You're not being nice. And I just looked at him. I said, I'm not nice. I'm not nice. I never claimed to be nice. But I love you. And I'm kind. And I want you to learn to be obedient. That's kind. It's not nice. Doesn't feel good. But it's kind. Everywhere I go these days, I see shirts or signs telling me to be kind. I'm guessing what they really mean is be nice. Don't say or do anything that would make another person feel bad. Which leads to the confusing of love and license. To love someone means to give of yourself to meet their needs. Just like Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that we could have eternal life. He gave of himself to meet the needs of the beloved. Okay? That's what love is. It is a verb, as DC Talk said. Love is a verb. Does anybody in here know who DC Talk is? Okay, thank you. It's not a feeling. And sometimes love and kindness require that you tell someone the truth, even though your feelings and theirs would rather you not. In the 70s, y'all may remember this, love meant never having to say you're sorry. I never did understand that. But today's culture thinks that love means never saying or doing anything that makes another person feel bad. And I thought about that for a while. If we think that we should never say or do or believe anything that would make another person feel bad, we will live in constant fear and insecurity because our value system is built on how other people think and feel, which we have absolutely no control over, and not on what God thinks and feels and says. And you can never control another person's thoughts and feelings. And so you are going to live in a constant state of trying to live what you can never, trying to control what you can never control. Do you see what I'm saying? If love means that I never make you feel bad, if that's loving you, never saying or doing anything that's going to make you feel bad, then how am I ever going to feel right at all? Because I will live in a constant state of fear that I've said or done something, and that's where we find ourselves as a culture. Trying to make sure that we don't ever offend anybody by what we say and do. And we don't even... The rules change every day. And the only answer to that is to live our lives based on what God says. And do what is right. And be loving and kind because God is loving and kind. But he is not always nice and he does not give us license to do whatever we want to do. Jesus was kind, but I bet Peter felt bad and humiliated and embarrassed and ashamed when Jesus rebuked him in front of all the other disciples and called him Satan and told him he wasn't on the side of God, he was on the side of man. Jesus was kind, but I bet his mother Mary felt stung a little bit when she asked to speak to Jesus and he looked out at the crowd and said, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" I like that. The definition of kind includes the word gentle as a synonym because we can tell the truth even when we know it will hurt. We can appear to not be nice by the things we do or don't do for another person in kindness and love, but it always needs to be done in gentleness. There's a difference in telling someone the truth, speaking words of truth, knowing that it's true, knowing it's the right thing to do, knowing it's what God has called you to do, and you can do it with gentleness. And there's a difference between that and speaking the truth but being insecure about it and doing it out of defensiveness. I've done both. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we know we need to say something and it's the truth, but the way we say it, we're doing it out of defensiveness instead of it's something that we know is the right and the good and the best thing to do. We've seen three ways that Jesus loved, how he loved his disciples. But as I look at these, I think, okay, how in the world did he do this? How did he live with these 12 guys for 3 years and live this way? You know, because most of the time it's hard for us to live 3 minutes with some people, right? But Jesus is calling us to live the way that he lived, to love each other the way that he loved. Jesus was able to love like this because he submitted himself and was obedient to the Father. He lived his earthly life by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that we have. It's impossible for us to obey Jesus' command to love each other in our own strength. But we can obey him by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. We can submit to God and we can ask him to fill us with his spirit of love and teach us how to love. We can ask and we can receive because we love because he first loved us. Our devotion this morning, if you're doing the Bible in 1 year out, remember he said that guy walked up to him and said, "Do you know that God loves you unconditionally, wholeheartedly, and continually?" Unconditionally, wholeheartedly, and continually. That's how God loves you. That's how God loves each one of us. He loves us wholeheartedly. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us continually. No matter what you've done or how you feel this morning, God loves you. And if we could get a hold of how God loves us, if God would pour that spirit of love in our hearts and through us, then we would be able to love each other unconditionally, wholeheartedly, and continually. Too often we disobey Jesus' command to love one another because we won't humble ourselves and be known. I know for years I had a wall so thick around me of pride, and because I didn't want other people to see who I really was. I didn't want them to see how needy I was. I would go in my prayer closet and I would cry out to God. But at church, I was an oak of righteousness. I mean, that's how I felt. Sorry. That's what I was trying to be. It's just the truth now, and now I don't care. You know, I mean, it's like, because God, if you belong to him and you've got that wall of pride built up around you, he'll take you through some stuff. And he will break down that wall just like he broke down the walls of Jericho. And he will walk right in your life and till you get to the point where you're like, you know what? I don't have anything to hide. I don't care what anybody thinks because I am what I am. And I don't care if you know I'm needy, because I'm needy. I need God. I need you. I need my family. I need mercy. I need grace. I need love. I need forgiveness. I need encouragement. We may attend church services and serve and be involved, but sometimes we think we dare not let another into our lives. We don't sometimes really live among the people because of pride and fear and perceived hurts that the other people probably don't even know they did, you know? It seems it's one of Satan's favorite tactics to plant lies into our minds of what another person has done, not done, or thought about us. And we live our lives as if it's true. And they don't have a clue. It's difficult to really love another person because that requires so much of us. It requires us to be vulnerable and forgiving, to risk rejection, You know, what if I reach out to that person and they reject me? It happens, and it hurts. We can deceive ourselves that we are loving the body by serving the body. But that's only half of it. The other half is allowing the body to love us and to know us. And that requires humility, time, work, effort. And most of us are just too tired. It's easier to go to our own little dens and hide away, saying, you know what, I don't need all this pain and this hurt. We're lonely, but at least we're not having to put up with things and people that we don't like, or let other people see that we don't have it all together. It's like that Taylor Swift song. Y'all know Taylor Swift, right? Y'all sing to her in the car on the radio, right? I only know this song because I had two teenage daughters at the time, but that Taylor Swift song called Stay. Stay, stay, stay. Okay, I was going to get the lyrics and I forgot, so I couldn't ever say them up here now. But anyway, you know, it's a song about having a fight with her boyfriend and, you know, him walking in with a football helmet because he knew they were fixing to go at it, you know. And she says, we almost broke up last night. And she says, but why don't you just stay, 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 you know? Every family has issues and dysfunction. Every family has arguments that cause hurt feelings and wounded pride. Every family has communication issues where two people misunderstand another's words or actions. And the family of God is no different. We've all been hurt. We've all been irritated. We've all gotten mad. And the question is, do you love Jesus? Because Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. If we love Jesus, we have to set aside our feelings, our hurt, our pride, our anger, and obey him. We have to love his body. And we do that by being present. Even when we don't feel like it, we need to be present in people's lives. We need to get involved with people that we don't even like. You know, because that's how a family is, right? Your family's just who your family is. You didn't choose it. And the body of Christ is your family. You didn't choose the people in here. I mean, look at us. Would we have chosen each other as natural friends? I mean, would Paul and I be friends? No, no. I'm joking. But you see my point. We're family, and we need to be present with each other. We need to speak words of life and truth and encouragement to each other because it's a hard world out there. Life is hard and we all are suffering from it. We all are daily abused by the world and by life and by our families, our real families. You know, and so if we as the family of Christ, the body of Christ, aren't speaking words of love and encouragement and truth to one another, what are we going to do? We're going to go hide in our little holes because that's where the world is going to now. We're going into total isolation from one another. You know, I heard this on the radio a couple of times, different places this week, about isolation. And a lot of people think it started with COVID. It didn't start with COVID. They say it started back around 2014 when over 50% of the population at that point had a smartphone. Y'all, it's these devices that we are tied to, that we are just absorbed into. They separate us from each other. They give us stuff to do where we don't have to talk to other people. We don't have to communicate with other people. And the church today has got to say, enough is enough. And we need to say, I'm going to put this thing down and I'm going to have a real relationship with my brothers and my sisters in Christ. And I'm talking to myself as much as anybody. I was thinking the other night as I'm sitting there with my iPad playing a game, Friday night, I thought, what was life like before we had these things? What did I do? You know? Have you ever thought about that? It's like, I know I lived the first 40 years of my life without a computer. What did we do? We talked to each other. Okay, I'm not going to harp on that anymore, but those are the things we got to do, is we got to be present. We got to speak words of life. And we've got to do for other people what they cannot do for themselves. But we've got to quit doing for other people what they can do and should do for themselves. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you loved your disciples so much, and that you love us so much, and that you told us, you gave us a new commandment that we should love each other the way that you loved your disciples. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our ears, our very lives to hear you say that to each one of us individually, and that you would pour out your love on us so that it goes in us and through us to each other. Lord, and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.